From the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network studios in Des Moines, this is Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Riley Smith. In today's show, Mark talks with Troy Bauer of BASF about their new soybean cyst nematode tracking website. I discuss the WASDE report with Greg McBride of Allendale, and Dustin has coverage of the National Pork Producer Council's fly-in to Washington, D.C. Now, here are your hosts for today, Mark Magnuson and Dustin Huffman.
Well, it is a beautiful day out here in central Iowa. Welcome to Iowa Ag Matters. Riley, thanks so much for getting the ball rolling here today. I'm Dustin Huffman. Andy is out getting his planter ready, getting the ground ready, as he is getting anxious to put seeds in the ground, as we talked about yesterday. So Mark Magnuson sitting in here today. And Mark, I'll let you say hello here because I know you're going to lead us off with markets. But, you know, we've been talking a lot about WASDE and things. I'm sure we'll get that recap later on in the program. But what kind of things are you looking at here as we're heading into this weekend, Mark?
Well, certainly, Andy, I think he picked the great day to take off to get in the field and do some work outside, because at least initially it looks like it's going to be an awesome day. And you're right, Dustin, we have a lot to talk about still with the WASDE. And I think a lot of people scratching their heads after yesterday, in specific, looking at that Brazilian production number for soybeans. USDA didn't touch it at all, didn't make any changes.
You know what? As much as I want to say people are probably scratching their heads, and they probably are, I don't think it's surprising anybody anymore. You know, there's been a lot of questions being pushed around along some of the numbers USDA pulls out of a hat on any given week and or any given month, and that just adds to it. But Mark, let's let you kick things off talking with Matt Bennett from AgMarket.net.
Joined today by Matt Bennett of AgMarket.net for our opening market discussion. Matt, following WASDE report Thursday, what are we seeing in the grains?
The report was not bearish corn, so to speak. I mean, I would say it was a little bit bearish on soybeans, but, you know, geez, both lost ground, 5-6 cents on the day. You know, you come in here on Friday, it looks like a tiny recovery rally for the time being. As you and I talk, you know, we're up a penny to 2 pennies, corn and beans. Nothing super exciting. Coming into the weekend, it'll be very interesting to see if anybody wants to take a position. You know, there's a lot of talk about the disparity between CONAB and the USDA as far as South American production goes. Just a massive difference between the two whenever you talk about actual bushels. Who's right, I think, is a big question. But that would probably be the one thing that, from the report, that I would say was interesting. You know, for the most part, I think the adjustments in stocks for U.S. balance sheets were something that we expected.
And, you know, in the lead up to the report, I think a lot of people were saying that was the first thing they wanted to find out, was what was going to happen with that Brazilian production number for soybeans. And as you mentioned, the USDA did not touch that number at all. Now, we know the USDA a little bit hesitant at times to pull back on numbers like that. But is there any indication, Matt, why they did not make any change at all to that number?
You know, I don't know, to be honest with you. I know there's been a lot of talk that some of the independents down there said, hey, don't lose sight of the fact that maybe a few more of these beans were planted than what people think. Even CONAB said, hey, there's a few more beans planted than what we originally thought, but we still feel like the drop in production is something that we, you know, we can't ignore, you know. And so I don't know, Mark. It's one of those things right now that, you know, when you're 10 million tons off from one person to another, that's a lot of soybeans. And so, you know, bottom line is we'll figure it out moving forward. I thought it was also interesting that, you know, the USDA is calling last year's crop a 162. CONAB, you know, is well below that as well. So, you know, I don't know how this will all turn out. It certainly will play into the balance sheet, both globally and in the U.S. You know, if we do get a little more export business due to their crop being a little bit less. But, you know, for the time being, I've got to think this trade just looks heavy. You know, it looks like you're going to have to give a catalyst to get these funds to cover positions that they don't typically carry into the year. You don't typically see the funds massively short going into the growing season, but that's exactly where we're at today.
Matt Bennett of AgMarket.net will be joining us a little later on in the program to talk on the livestock side of things. But right now, Andy Peterson's got the three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Number three.
Pretty quiet was the April WASDE report out from USDA with both corn and soybeans, finishing the day of down about 5 cents on what could be seen as a bullish report, more so probably for corn than soybeans, according to Greg McBride from Allendale.
It was fairly in line with expectations for corn, a drop of 50 million bushels to 2.122 billion. The overall average guess was for 70 million cut to 2.102. So pretty well in line. I mean, maybe say a little bit disappointing. The changes that we saw on this report were from feed and residual, as expected from that stocks report that we had at the end of March.
He says on the demand side of the equation, a rise in usage due to ethanol production was expected and seen as well. Soybeans a little bit more bearish with an increase in ending stocks.
Number two.
Seeing progress on the farm bill is House Ag Committee Chairman Glenn G.T. Thompson, who says, quote, without a doubt, farm bill will be out of his committee by Memorial Day. However, lawmakers in the Senate, like Senator Charles Grassley, are not optimistic at all, with Grassley saying to reporters this week what they need is a, quote, five-year extension, but I'm very pessimistic about there being an agreement in the Senate on a bipartisan farm bill this year.
Number one.
As planting season begins to ramp up around the state of Iowa, those machines you see putting seeds in the ground out in the field are as much technology as they are metal anymore. Sometimes customizing that technology and figuring out what's truly necessary can be difficult, especially on a used planter that was customized for a different operation. So precision has come up with another opportunity.
Where you're getting the technology, the planter set up the way that you want it, the way that's going to overcome obstacles or challenges for you on your operation, but it comes with the new paint, the ability to have new iron onto the farm, and the only thing that really you need to bring is the bar. So it is a true planting system. It's everything from the W plate back, and it's integrated with precision planting technology. It's designed by individuals who got their boots dirty in the field, and it's really built to be a flexible factory option.
Caleb Snyder's director of technical services and support for precision planting says you can learn more about the Cornerstone planting system at precisionplanting.com. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
Well, the pork producers were out in Washington, D.C. for their annual fly-in addressing some of their concerns. We're going to hear from a few of those producers, including some Iowa producers, coming up next on Iowa Ag Matters from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network online at iowaagnet.com.
National Pork Producers Council just had its recent fly-in to Washington, D.C., where several of the members of that organization air their concerns and some of the things they're thinking about going forward in the hog industry. That's here on Iowa Ag Matters.
The pork industry has been dealing with a lot of headwinds as we end the first third of 2024. While prices are going a little higher right now, consistency has been an issue. Markets have seen many radical shifts. Many have not been good. However, uncertainty has not just been an issue in the marketplace. It's the only tip of the iceberg when we're looking at the uncertainty pork producers have faced across the country in recent years. Recently, the National Pork Producers Council hosted a fly-in to Washington, D.C. for producers to come address lawmakers about the issues that are top of mind for them and their concerns regarding policy that affects their day-to-day production. National Pork Producers CEO Brian Humphrey says they're cautiously optimistic for the rest of 2024.
And I think there's some opportunity for optimism as we look at 2024. And part of that is with an increase in domestic consumption. The other part of it is with a reduced input cost. One of the things that's worth noting, though, for the American pork producer is that there are some fixed expenses. When we talk about interest, we talk about labor, we talk about capital improvements that are up almost 20%. And when you add that into the baseline of pork production, you have some significant challenges in being cost competitive. And so we look forward to hopefully a profitable year for our industry in 24, recognizing the headwinds that we ran into in late 22 and all of 23.
National Pork Producers Council President Lori Stevemer is a Minnesota producer, and she talks about the topics they brought to lawmakers.
I think there are as we alluded to, a number of issues. I mean, with Prop 12 still on individuals' minds, I will say labor is becoming a big concern with a lot of our farms. It's probably the one topic that I'm starting to get more questions on, more comments from our farms, whether it's the TNs or H2As, but just really a concern about that ability for our farms to have labor long term.
Rob Brennerman is a Washington County, Iowa producer, and he said that the message to Congress was very clear. It shouldn't be this hard to get his labor needs met.
Washington County, Iowa is a very employed county. It's hard to get labor locally. With the TN program, something has changed in that program. It's not as easy to get TNs as we had, and so we need to address that issue because labor is a big deal to us. And when you look at Prop 12, for example, which we have a large Prop 12 farm, that definitely requires a little more labor, and it also requires a little more use of technology to help us to be more productive in that situation. The two go together because Prop 12 takes more labor also.
CEO Humphrey says that they want a strong bipartisan solution to these issues.
While there's some obviously things like the ETAC that are on the table, this really needs to be a bipartisan solution and to work through and recognize that there's some balance that we have to have here, and we understand that. But as we look forward, our goal and the direction that we have from our board and our producers is to ensure that there is not a patchwork of 50 different regulations from across the country, to ensure that we can provide stability to our producers to do what's right for their farms and for their animals and make sure that they can raise those animals in the best way that they know how on their farms. There's a lot of options that this could take. That's why we continue to meet with both the House and the Senate, with Republicans and Democrats, because we're trying to navigate and find a bipartisan solution as we move forward here.
You can learn more about what the National Pork Producers Council is doing for the pork industry by visiting nppc.org. For Iowa Ag Matters, I'm Dustin Huffman. April is chock full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Garlic Month, National Pecan Month, Filipino Food Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, National Garden Month, National Soft Pretzel Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, Iowa farmers can be proud that they help produce the foods that people eat all over the world. If not for farmers around the country, and especially here at home, none of these celebrations would be as easy to observe. American farmers truly are helping feed the world. So if you're going to take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you take the time to thank the American farmers who produce food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable for you and your loved ones. And also, if you're going to celebrate around all these food products, make sure you invite your friends at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. We'll bring an appetite as we help support American farmers, especially here in Iowa.
Coming up on Iowa Ag Matters, we will get the latest cash prices from around the state as Dustin Huffman has the basis report. Also on the show today, we will be joined by Troy Bauer of BASF as we learn more about SCNfields.com, new website to help you fight soybean cyst nematode. You're listening to Iowa Ag Matters.
Let's go ahead and run down those elevator prices for you on this Friday, April the 12th. I'm Dustin Huffman. Not much change in the markets here and the basis offerings. Maybe just a few slight increases on a couple corn bids. Let's take a look at where we're sitting. ADM Burlington, they are 5 cents under on corn, 424. Soybeans a dime under at 1151. Cargill Eddyville, 15 cents over on corn, their cash bid 444. Nuco-op Algona, 5 cents over on corn, they're at 434. Soybeans, 55 cents under with a cash bid of 1106. Ag State Sheldon, 18 cents over on corn, they're at 447. Soybeans, 65 cents under at 1096. Ag State Elta, 9 cents under on corn, at $4.20 for the cash bid. Soybeans, 55 cents under at 1106. Cargill Cedar Rapids, 15 cents over on corn, 444. Soybeans even today, cash bid 1161. Nexus Co-op Marble Rock, 15 cents over on corn, 444. Soybeans 45 cents under at 1116. Lincoln Way Ethanol Nevada, they're 15 cents over on corn today, cash bid 444. At ADM Des Moines, they're 15 cents under on soybeans, they're at 1146. New Co-op Red Oak, a nickel under on corn, they're at 424. Soybeans 50 cents under at 1111. Mid-Iowa Cooperative Green Mountain, 15 cents under on corn, cash bid 414. Soybeans 50 cents under at 1111. New Co-op Sheraton, 22 cents under on corn, they're at 407. Soybeans 55 cents under, cash bid 1106. Walk-On Feed Ranch, 8 cents under on corn, 421. Soybeans 35 cents under, 1126. New co-op Glidden, a nickel over on corn, cash bid 434, soybeans 50 cents under at 1111. Innovative Ag Services Farley, 3 cents over on corn, cash bid 432, soybeans 40 cents under, 1121. And a Cargill Muscatine, they're 4 cents under on corn, 425, soybeans 11 cents under at 1150. Cash corn and soybean bids are subject to change without notice. Always check with your local elevator when making sales to obtain the most recent price. That's been a check of your basis numbers here on Iowa Ag Matters.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
We got more market information still to come here on Iowa Ag Matters, including a complete rundown of the midday numbers. Mark and Riley will have that coming up for you here on Iowa Ag Matters. Also, don't forget about our free market podcast. Free market analysis sent right to your mobile device 3 times a day on Amazon, Apple, Google, Spotify, and Podbean. Also found online at iowaagnet.com. We'll be back on Iowa Ag Matters. Well, we know as the planters are rolling across the fields, we know that SCN is waiting already for those soybean seeds to be planted, and trying to get ahead of those nematodes is a full-time job in and of itself. And BASF has got a new website out that allows you to look at some of the data being collected in your area, make your plans accordingly, so you're ready to take on those little buggers as the beans try to get themselves set up for another year. Troy Bauer, BASF, sits down with our Mark Magnuson right now.
Troy, thanks for taking the time to join us here today. SCNfields.com, right there in the name, soybean cyst nematode. And Troy, I have talked to you about this very same topic in the past. We know that SCN is a significant yield robber, and it costs a lot of money to America's farmers here in the heartland. Could you explain and expound on that a little bit for us, please?
You bet, Mark. Thanks so much for taking time out of your day today to discuss this very important topic for the soybean growers across the U.S. SCNfields.com, it's a new website that we've launched at BASF, part of our portfolio for digital solutions to help support growers to increase their profitability and just to raise awareness around this very damaging pest. It kind of automates data, creates some actionable insights for the growers out there, kind of help improve their decision-making around this pest and managing for this pest going forward. So it's a website that they can go and they can enter like a zip code or their town, and then they can kind of see the SCN pressure that's occurring around them. And once they see that, it may pique their interest to go in and take some soil samples of their own and improve their SCN management strategy. So it's a really great opportunity for growers to see what's going on around them.
So Troy, in a way, it's kind of like taking it to the next level of, you know, talking to a neighbor farmer. You get some information from them, but you don't necessarily know if that's 100% actionable data. And now we do have that in the form of SCNfields.com. You can actually see the data. And how often is that updated, Troy? Is that pretty much real time in terms of at least very recently?
This is all part of an effort of BASF to work with growers out in their own communities to collect that information. And then once we collect that information, we're able to put that out there on the website for everyone to see. And as we know with SCN, it's a very damaging pest. It's the number one pest for soybean growers in the Midwest, and we estimate that it causes about $1.5 billion of loss every year. So it's something that growers need to pay attention to, and this is just a digital tool to help them improve their management strategy around this pest.
Grower goes to the website, they see the information there. And what are they looking at specifically? Is it just sampling results? And then what are they able to do with that information?
Yeah, so this is information that's out there that really allows them to see the level of SCN that's present in their area. Now, that may not relate specifically to their own local field, but they can kind of see what's going on in the area. And this would then, if they've got more concerns, then my encouragement would be is they need to go out and soil sample and really understand what's going on in their own fields, and then develop a management strategy. Because based on the information we've collected, nearly 80% of the fields that we've sampled have had SCN in them, and nearly 60% of the fields are losing significant yields due to the soybean cyst nematode. And as we know, SCN is kind of that silent yield robber. We really don't see any above ground effects, even up to 30% yield loss with that pest. So we really need to understand what's going on in every grower's field. And SCNfields.com kind of gives growers that opportunity.
He is Troy Bauer with BASF. Troy, thank you so much for taking the time to join us here today.
Mark, thanks so much for your time. You have a great week.
Well, thanks, Mark, for that report. We appreciate that. And let's keep things rolling. Andy Peterson's got round two of the three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Number three.
Seeking submissions in the 2024 Choose Iowa Calendar Contest, hosted by the Iowa Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship. Choose Iowa is the state's signature brand for Iowa-grown, Iowa-raised, and Iowa-made products. Now, Secretary Mike Nag says they're looking for artwork for the calendar, and it should feature at least one aspect of Iowa agriculture with an emphasis on food, livestock, or crop production. Submissions will be judged on creativity and connections to agriculture and everyday life, with the winners being announced at the Iowa State Fair. Says you can learn more on the Choose Iowa website or email chooseiowa@iowaagriculture.gov for more details.
Number two.
Pretty quiet was the April WASDE report out from USDA, with both corn and soybeans finishing the day of down about 5 cents on what could be seen as a bullish report, more so probably for corn than soybeans, according to Greg McBride from Allendale.
That was fairly in line with expectations for corn, a drop of 50 million bushels to 2.122 billion. The overall average guess was for 70 million cut to 2.102. So pretty well in line. I mean, maybe say a little bit disappointing. The changes that we saw on this report were from feed and residual, as expected from that stocks report that we had at the end of March.
He says on the demand side of the equation, a rise in usage due to ethanol production was expected and seen as well. Soybeans, a little bit more bearish with an increase in ending stocks.
Number one.
As planting season begins to ramp up around the state of Iowa, those machines you see putting seeds in the ground out in the field are as much technology as they are metal anymore. Sometimes customizing that technology and figuring out what's truly necessary can be difficult, especially on a used planter that was customized for a different operation. So precision has come up with another opportunity.
Where you're getting the technology, the planter set up the way that you want it, the way that's going to overcome obstacles or challenges for you on your operation, but it comes with the new paint, the ability to have new iron onto the farm. And the only thing that really you need to bring is the bar. So it is a true planting system. It's everything from the W plate back, and it's integrated with precision planting technology. It's designed by individuals who got their boots dirty in the field, and it's really built to be a flexible factory option.
Caleb Snyder is Director of Technical Services and Support for Precision Planting. He says you can learn more about the Cornerstone Planting System at precisionplanting.com. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
All right, so the markets are coming up next, and those midday numbers, find out what's going on one day post-WASDE, and of course, going into the weekend, sometimes we like to be smooth sailing, and we have been smooth sailing up until the last couple hours or so, but we'll see what Mark and Riley have for us in those grain and livestock numbers. Coming up next on Iowa Ag Matters.
This is the Midday Market Update on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson. Joined today by Lori Carter of Comstock for our Midday Market Discussion. Lori, what did we see in the report yesterday that kind of piqued your interest, caught your eye, maybe something that surprised you from yesterday's report?
I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but what surprised me was Actually, very little changes as far as any South American production numbers and also usage or demand changes that might have been expected, especially on the corn, as far as export demand because of where export inspections are relative to the previous year, and also ethanol usage numbers. That I would have thought maybe would have been increased or improved, and very little was done in that way. The market didn't react positively, but I guess would recovered somewhat and kind of shook it off a little bit. Today we have everything trading a little bit higher. Wheat's up a couple cents, corn up 5 3/4, beans up 9. We've had even a little bit more strength than that. We're kind of up against some important resistance areas that I feel like if we could get through, we could get some follow-through move to the upside.
That was Lori Carter with Comstock. That's the latest on the grains. Here's more livestock news.
Thanks, Mark. Taking a look at the beef trade to start off today. Daily estimated cattle slaughter at 124,000 head. That is 2,000 above a week ago, just about even with a year ago. The choice select spread is at 322. Load count for choice cuts at 66. Current cutout values for that at 298.37, and that is up 14 cents from yesterday. Load count for select cuts at 15. The current cutout value for select at 295.15. That is 87 cents below the prior day. Taking a look at the pork numbers, daily hog slaughter estimated today at 491,000 head. That is actually even with a week ago and just about 2,000 above a year ago. And taking a look at the cash prices now, looking at yesterday afternoon's numbers through the Daily Direct hog report, we've got 3,911 head of negotiated purchases. Producers sold barrows and gilts on a carcass basis. The weighted average price is down $358 to $87.05. Formula purchases at 24,634 head, that weighted average price then at 87 even. That's been a check of the livestock action here at midday. Mark Magnuson will be back here soon to wrap it up with the numbers.
April is full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, farmers can be proud of the work they do to produce the foods that people eat all over the world. So if you take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you thank the American farmers who produce the food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable. This message from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
At midday, May corn up 6 1/4 at 435 even. May soybeans up 9 1/2 at 1168 3/4. On the Merck, April live cattle down $2.25 at 178 even. April feeder cattle down $1.37 at 237.80. May lean hogs down $3.17 at 94.12. May pork cutout unchanged at 104.42. And Class 3 milk down a penny at 15.39. That was a check of the midday markets on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson.
Well, I promised Matt Bennett of AgMarket.net back to talk about what's going on with those cattle and hog markets here today. Mark Magnuson sitting down with him once again.
On the other side of the ag marketplace, what's happening with the livestock complex?
Well, you know, it's just kind of been, cattle have basically tried to catch their breath, so to speak. So, you know, to me, fats are very fundamentally friendly. We've talked about that a few times. There's no doubt that you can make a case for, you know, a run towards all-time highs when you look just strictly at the fundamentals of the cattle market, you know, but at the same time, it just seems like you run into some sell pressure when you get to some of these more lofty levels. The funds get a little bit shaky, get a little bit weak in the knees. And, you know, it hasn't helped that equities have kind of backed off here recently. I do think that that's been a bit of a factor, you know, in seeing this cattle market back off. Now, the interesting thing, when you talk feeders, you know, feeders are just well off of their recent highs. You know, you're looking at, $25 off of where we were just a couple, 3 weeks ago, you know, but at the same time, out there on the open market, the real world, you can't hardly find feeders. And so there's a bit of a gap right now between reality in what the board's posting. So it'd be very interesting to see how this cattle thing transpires through the year. Technically, is the last thing I'll talk about with cattle. You know, we had a monthly reversal lower this last month on fat cattle. Boy, I'll tell you what, that is not a friendly thing. And so in the face of extremely bullish fundamentals, you've got some bearish technicals. So, you know, at this point in the game, I got to think that cattle will kind of hang out here. You're in the midst of some of your moving averages. I don't look for them to fall apart just yet, but by all means, on rallies, I would certainly be looking to manage some risk if I'm a producer that can look at some black ink.
And then what about the hog side?
Yeah, the hogs have been just as wild. It's about like the Wild West lately. You know, we've taken this hog market. You just go back to the start of the year, you know, and you were trading, oh, I don't know. Let's talk June. You know, you were trading about $87 on hogs, you know, and as of yesterday, you closed at 105.80. I mean, one heck of a run that we've had, especially, you know, over the last couple of weeks. And so hogs have been on a tear. They backed off significantly here this week from where they were. But, you know, you're still looking at hogs, you know, triple digits, you know, several of your contract months. I don't know. Probably a really good place to manage risk. But now, let's face it, there's not a lot of independent hog producers. Most of these hogs are contracted. But if I had some exposure, by all means, I think that it would behoove myself to step in and manage some risk here.
What is the best way for our listeners to get in touch for more marketing information?
Agmarket.net. They just go there on the web. They can get a hold of any of our contact info, our new app that we are unveiling here in the next couple, 3 days. You know, a lot of good information on that website.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
Coming up next here on Iowa Ag Matters, Riley Smith is joined by Greg McBride of Allendale as Greg helps us break down the WASDE report, which was released yesterday. That's next on Iowa Ag Matters.
Well, obviously the WASDE was out yesterday, had a lot of head-scratching moments, but we still get a lot of information that does affect the markets. Greg McBride of Allendale runs through it with Riley Smith as they talk about what we're looking at here as planters are starting to roll across the Corn Belt.
First off, Greg, what do we see from today's WASDE report numbers?
It was fairly in line with expectations for corn, a drop of 50 million bushels to 2.122 billion. The overall average guess was for 70 million cut to 2.102. So pretty well in line. I mean, maybe you could say a little bit disappointing. The changes that we saw on this report were from feed and residual, as expected from that stocks report that we had at the end of March. And then you also saw a bump to ethanol. There was no change to exports. So overall, total usage increased by 50 million bushels, and that's what the ending stocks dropped by. So nothing exciting there. We did see on the world side of ending stocks dropped by 1.5 million tons. That was actually another one that was it was a good number to see it drop, but it was a little bit less than it was expected. They were looking for about a 3 million ton drop, and they only got about 1.5 million. On the bean side of things, an increase of 25 million bushels. That came by way of a 20 million bushel decrease to exports and a 10 million decrease to total domestic usage. But the import number being down 5 million did help kind of round that out to only 25 million. But we're sitting at 340 million bushels for ending stocks on soybean. Again, that's inflating. We know that we've got the export situation that is still pretty rough, but we haven't seen the USDA really come in and make any major changes to crush to kind of offset that export demand issue.
And that's what's been interesting is that we've heard you know, pretty different, not extremely different, but pretty different news from organizations down in Brazil. kind of reining in expectations on that crop. But, you know, it's interesting to see the USDA not make any changes there. So, I mean, how's that lining up with expectations? And, I mean, do we have anything that might indicate why they're being so hesitant?
Well, a lot of times the way it works out is that the Brazilians or private analysts down there do cut more than what is needed along the way, and then they end up later on as the crop is finalized, they'll bring those numbers up. So, if you look at the CONAB number that came out today at 146.5 million tons, it's still substantially lower. The best guess estimate is probably that we're over estimating that crop and they're underestimating that crop, and we meet somewhere in the middle, maybe around, say, 151 or something like that. You did have CONAB come in and lower the corn side of things as well to just under 111 million tons for Brazil's crop. And the USDA, again, no changes there at 124 million metric tons. So this is a situation where the USDA is just slow playing it or being conservative. And then on the Argentina side, the only change that was made by the USDA was a drop of a million tons on the corn side of things. No change to beans. And we've been talking about that for a while. Nobody's really kind of stepped out on the edge to change that bean number. Rosario Grain Exchange cut their corn crop estimate from 57 down to 50.5, whereas Buenos Aires Grain Exchange back on the 5th lowered from 55 down to 52. So with the USDA at 55 million tons for Argentina's corn is still significantly higher than the boots on the ground down in Argentina.
April is chock full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Garlic Month, National Pecan Month, Filipino Food Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, National Garden Month, National Soft Pretzel Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, Iowa farmers can be proud that they help produce the foods that people eat all over the world. If not for farmers around the country, and especially here at home, none of these celebrations would be as easy to observe. American farmers truly are helping feed the world. So if you're going to take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you take the time to thank the American farmers who produce food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable for you and your loved ones. And also, if you're going to celebrate around all these food products, make sure you invite your friends at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. We'll bring an appetite as we help support American farmers, especially here in Iowa.
Iowa Ag Matters wrapping up here on Friday. Thank you to Riley Smith for helping us put the show together. As always, doing a great job. Also, Dustin Huffman. I'm Mark Magnuson. Andy Peterson will rejoin us on Monday. I would like to send you to our podcast page to check out Weekend Ag Matters this weekend. Or, of course, if we are airing on one of your local affiliates, make sure and tune in. You've been listening to Iowa Ag Matters on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. Have a great weekend.